Matthew's such a radical gospel. I mean, you could see the temple being destroyed, the disciples here moving for Jesus. We see the tribulation in Mark 13:5, Luke chapter 21, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and he will deceive many." The Antichrist is going to come and try to deceive the world into thinking that he really is Jesus. And that's why we need to be in the Word of God. We need to see how the Bible talks about the warning about being deceived. And it was especially appropriate for the disciples. And the destruction of Jerusalem did not necessarily, you know, stop what God was going to do. Because God says, look into the future. Look and be positive because he's coming. We see in the book of Matthew how Jesus was talking about wars and rumors of wars. Man, we're here. You see the nations against kingdoms, against, you know, it seems to indicate that wars are on a, it's a large scale, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, Revelation 6, sorrows, it's the birth pains. In Matthew, it talks about in 24, it talks about the, these are all the beginnings. These are the beginnings, church, believers out there listening. These are the belief. This is the beginning of the birth pains, and God is going to bring an end and judge the world. And people are blind. Not everyone, but a lot of people are blind. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we thank you for this time. Now we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you come, Father God, Lord Jesus. You come in your name, Jesus. Forgive us all of our sins that we may take this message to heart. Holy Spirit, teach this word in your name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Welcome back to Growing in His Word. Man, it's happening, man. Nations against nation. You know, we see the days are going to be shortened. Means that God will place a limit on the tribulation. And Christians will not really have to endure the persecution forever. And so we're going to see it happen, man. And my voice is going out because I got sick this week. And you guys pray for my voice, man. It'll hold up. But last week we were talking about how the illustrations of the days of Noah and how it relates to the Word of God. How in the last days, you know, but that of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, when the Lord's coming back. But it said that, but my Father only knows. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Because for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and they were marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark. They were mocking God. Oh, where's your God? Building the ark. Building the ark, Noah. And they're laughing. They're doing the things that they want to do. They're making fun of God. They're making fun of the Holy Spirit. They're just running all over the earth, doing as they please. And God said, I can't have it no more. And you're thinking, oh no, not another judgment message. Not another judgmental message. No, listen, believers, we're talking about Matthew. We're talking about how Jesus Christ is coming. He came, and now he's gonna start getting ready to prepare to die for us on the cross. It's amazing. We're going through the Bible verse by verse, and we're starting to see how the Lord is opening up this Bible. So all you believers out there in third world countries, you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Look, I'm preaching it, the Lord in me, verse by verse, and we're going to do this, man, together as a family. Noah was basically diligent in preparing for the flood. So as believers, you know, we're people that are going to live in the tribulation need to be alert, and they should prepare for the return of Jesus Christ, because it's like the servants we talked about, the faithful and the wise servant, and how they will be given more responsibilities in the Lord's kingdom, and the evil servant will be cut into two. Okay, it's a form of judgment that's used in the ancient world. And then we talked about the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth, the parable of the 10 virgins. Then we went on to talk about the judgment of the Gentiles. And that's what's happening. Listen, some people go to church You know, it's not everybody, but there's a lot of churches out there, especially, you know, that they don't teach solid gospel. They don't teach solid verse by verse. They don't read out of the Bible. They read commentaries. They read whatever they want that makes them feel happy to have the itchy ear message so believers in the church will get led away and they take their tithing monies. This is what it's talking about in Matthew chapter 25. Judgment of the Gentiles, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory and all the nations will be gathered before him. That's crazy, man. Listen. And he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. And I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me. We talked about that. And a lot of believers that are in the churches today, you know, they claim to be Christians, but really there's no actual Holy Spirit living in them. So you might think, oh, well, this is very bad. No, listen, believers out there that are listening, a lot of people have good intentions on following Christ, but when they receive him, they don't grow. That's why we started growing in his word. They receive Jesus. Oh, they'll go to a harvest crusade, which is cool. I love Greg Laurie. I love him really a lot. But Greg Laurie, he gives paperwork with it. A lot of people don't go back and receive that paperwork. And the paperwork is understanding how to grow. Understanding how to know. Understanding how to show and go through the trials, et cetera, et cetera. And they never go back. And that's not Greg Laurie's fault. He's just the messenger for God. But it's up to us believers to receive the Holy Spirit, meaning Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we as believers have to finish the work that God's starting in us. He will finish it in us. We have to be obedient to go with him, to allow him to finish that. Does that make sense, believers? And so a lot of churches today, they don't mean to. It's not that they want to. It's because they don't know. And then some pastors, not all of them, they get prideful, believers, and then they want this control over this pulpit that they don't even own. And they feel like they want to be this person that it's not for them to be. And God says, I didn't call you. I didn't call you. You're not a shepherd. And they actually use the church. Some false teachers are in the church. Not all of them. I don't want to scare you out of the churches. Believers, they're there. But you have to know the difference. And so the Lord is telling you, if you don't teach solid gospel, man, you need to get out of that church. If you don't teach verse by verse, you got to get out, man. And so, you know, it's amazing, you know, but the Lord loves you guys. He's in love with you and he's here for you, man. And I love you guys too, man. Listen, judgment of the Gentiles will happen. It will happen. People who claim to be believers, they're not plugged in right. They go to a crusade. They don't get plugged in all the way. They get saved. And then they go back to actually the church and they start vomiting on other believers because they don't understand God's word. Some people do that. And I'm telling you, I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to be discouraged. This happens. You see, God says to just grow and let it go and listen to the word of God, man. This is what it's talking about. So we've come now to Matthew chapter 26. We're talking in verse 44, and it says, and they also will answer him saying, Lord, did we see you were hungry or thirsty or strangers or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? We're almost to chapter 26. Okay. Then he will answer and saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment in the righteousness and eternal life. You see, that's where we left off last week, where we were talking about rotten, nasty, false Christians who pretend to be believers, and they set snares for you, and they're not even believers. It's not our job to go up and confront them. It's God. Yeah, you can rebuke them, but it's God will separate the wheat from the. You know, he'll separate the wheat from the tares, and the sheep from the goats, and that's the awesome part about God. He's loving and merciful and everlasting. So that if that answers your questions out there for the emails last week that I got, I hope that answers it. And I'm very excited to move on now to chapter 26. I had a lot of emails regarding that. So the emails were basically talking about the, you know, should I go back to church? And yes, you should go back to church. If it doesn't teach the word of God, then move on verse by verse, man. You want to go verse by verse, line after line, Holy Spirit led. God bless you guys. Chapter 26, the religious leaders now are plotting to kill Jesus. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover. In Hebrew, it's Pesach. Passover. It's the radical Passover. And the Hebrews are excited. A lot of people coming to Jerusalem. There's going to be a lot of travelers coming all around the world to go to Passover and, you know, practice the Judaism. And basically, the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. This is verse 2. And verse 3 says, then the chief priest of the scribes and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during this feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. They didn't want to rally up the people because they were afraid that the Jews would be upset. It would be a bad day, a bad holiday. They didn't want to upset the rabbis. They didn't want to get the religious leader all mad because they didn't want an argument. They didn't want to dare take him by force because their only recourse was trickery. They didn't want a problem. And the wicked Caiaphas was a high priest. And, but Annas, it's A-N-N-A-S, he still had influence over the office. And that was in Acts chapter 4, verse 6. And he was the actual high guy, okay, on the totem pole there. But the Roman government deposed him from office but he still worked behind the scenes through his wicked son-in-law. You see? The religious leaders knew they could not take Christ by argument, and they did not dare to take him by force. So the only recourse was trickery. And so you can see how Christ's full knowledge is here coming up to God's plan. Despite whatever happens, God is still in control. He doesn't care if they take him, because it was written in the Bible that way before time that, you know, God chose his only begotten son to die for us on the cross, because it was our sins that put him on that cross. He didn't care if it was a Jewish race, the Hebrew race, or if it was the Hispanic race, or the African American race, or the Asian race. He's going to use any race to get his job done. In fact, God doesn't care what color we are. He loves us so much. He made us all the same. It just so happened to be the Hebrew race it fell on. You know, it's amazing. You know, Satan tries to start all these wars and all this stuff, man, when we're all the same. But Jesus is going to die for our sins. And Judas is going to be a betrayer. Judas is going to be the one that sells him for 30 pieces of silver. And 30 pieces of silver was the actual amount of money it costed for a slave. Mary's going to say, look, I'm going to go take the perfume, anoint your feet, and I want to bless him and for his burial. And, it's going to be, she'll be remembered for generations and still does. And so we could see God's working here. This story is more than just a story. It's about how much God loves you. And that, look at the wicked times that we're living in today, and we can see God's permanent tattoo upon this nation with the Bible. The Bible is here. But Satan wants to get rid of the Bible. He wants to change the Bible with things that are not of him, like different school curriculum for your children. We see it. This is probably one of my favorite chapters of the whole Bible because Jesus is talking about, you know, this is like the Lord's Supper. It was meaningful. It's meaningful to us today. It relates to the past, present, and future. And it talks about how we take communion with Christ and have a personal relationship with him. Listen, and when listen to this, man, this is crazy. And Mary anoints Jesus's, she anoints him for burial. She knew. Look at this. She knew it was coming. Verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon, the leper, remember that, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask. It's a very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head. And as he sat at the table, but when his disciples saw it, they were like indignant, saying, why this? Why'd you waste this oil? It's so expensive, man. For this fragment oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. It's almost like they were trying to compete. Like, but really, did they? We don't know. I'm not going to judge. They were like, give it to the poor, like, you know, but Jesus was aware of it. And, you know, he said to them, well, why do you trouble the woman? Actually, they were going back and saying, give it to the poor, because remember in verse, you know, in the last chapter, we talked about how you fed me and you were, and when I was naked, you didn't feed me and you're going to burn in hell. They're probably scared. They're like, man, sell it, give it to the poor. Because it says here in the Bible, it says, you know, Jesus' sayings in the last chapter, he's talking about the actual, you know, helping the hunger and the sick. Holy, wow, it's amazing what you've done for us, Lord. Why this waste? You see, if it's for Jesus, it's not a waste of time, man. We don't got to put on our best Sunday's dress and spray our bodies with perfume to impress Jesus on Sunday morning. Put on our nice $100 shoes and, you know, and, ooh, look at this. Look at me. I went to a church one time and this guy, he was a pastor and he was telling me, ooh, you like my church? Yos. I said, oh, it's a nice church. Yeah. He had these real beautiful shoes on and a nice suit. Oh, wow. The suit was a good, ooh, it was an expensive suit, man. And it started to rain a little bit and the ground got dirty and I had mud on my feet and I put it on his shoe and I go, ha, 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 yeah, I like your shoes now, bro. He's all, how dare you? Those are $1,000 pair of shoes. And I said, wow. They're probably worth $20 now, man. Who cares? Man, it's about Jesus. For this fragment of oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor, but when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. He knew he was going to die. For in pouring this fragment of oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Wow. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And that's what we're doing. This fragment of oil was expensive. It was extracted from the pure nard, N-A-R-D. It's good stuff. It was costly. And she anointed him. She like John chapter 12, she could have opened the flask and you know, trickled it out a little bit, but she put it all over him. She poured it on him because she loved him. You know, we stink. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. We smell. And oftentimes we want to cover our sin with perfume or with whatever it may be. We act like we're better than other people. We tell the rich to sit there and the poor to sit there. Jesus said, don't do that. We often act like we're Christians, but really we're not. We don't have, some of us don't have the Holy Spirit living in us. And so we do the things that we naturally do. We're sinners. Jesus is saying, stop spraying the perfume on yourselves and give it to me. He's saying, pour your sins. Listen, I'll take your sins from you. And I'll bury them. I will make you whole. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I love you. But that perfume is for me. It's not for you. It's for me. Because I love you. I'm the one, Jesus says. I'm the one that needs all the glory. Jesus says, I want to be glorified. Will you glorify me? And you're thinking, how? Jesus is saying, take your sins and get on your knees and say, forgive me of my sins. And I will take them, Jesus says. And I will bury your sins. You can live a clean slate. You can live a clean life. Today you can start today. Every day is a new day with Jesus Christ. Believers, trust me. The oil was normally used after someone dies, but it's so expensive. The value of Jesus' death was so expensive, and the high cost and the devotion to him is what he wants. He wants us to devote it to him now. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to place him before everything. Otherwise, we're going to just smell like a dead horse. Because Jesus says, look, your sins stink. They smell. Jesus hates sin. Listen, he's saying here, take your Sunday's best and put it on me. You don't got to go to the church dressed like a high-end movie star, and your shoes looking nice and shiny, and you're rolling in a Benz, and look at me. God doesn't want your money. Oh, he doesn't want your money. You know, this world has nothing to offer us, believers. The only thing this world has to offer us is nothing. This world is a test of the emergency broadcast system. And till we recognize that, we're never going to make it. We're never going to make it. We're being tested and tried. Satan will tempt you. That's T-E-M-P. Temptation comes from the devil and fear. Fear is a liar. And whoever tries to put fear on you, they're from the devil. It's a devil-driven system. Fear. Fear is trickery. It's from the devil. Love is so radical. And that's what Jesus is. He's all about love and mercy. He loves us. Listen, Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much that he's sending now Jesus, his only begotten son, to die for you. Isn't that rad? And you're like, wow. Wow, what an amazing thing. And here we see Judas coming up, one of the 12. And he's, Judas's sin is seen in the words of one of the 12. And Jesus was betrayed by one of his inner circle people. And it's going to happen, believers. Listen to this. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot. Okay, verse 14. Went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. That's exactly what it costs for a slave. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Listen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in your life. We're going to stop here, but listen. It's going to happen in your life. Someone will betray you. There's always a Judas in the circle. And They're in the churches. They're in your work. There's a Judas everywhere. I don't want you to be afraid or hide, but this is what they do. They sell you out. They get to know you. This is what's wrong with today's end times. They get to know you. You see, Jesus left this book to show you. They get to know you, and then they get you to trust them, and then they stick a knife in your back. And Satan says, now I want you to be bitter. And Jesus says, don't. Turn around, and I'll pull the knife out of your back, Jesus says, and I'll give you that love. Listen, believers, you got to keep the love of Christ in your heart no matter what. You need to read 1 John. 1 John, believers, I'm going to end with this. 1 John is chapter 1, 2, and 3 were written for you. Listen, believers, years ago, I was going through it real bad time in my life. And, one of my mentors named Pastor Chuck Smith in Costa Mesa, California, told me, he said, Yos, you need to read 1 John chapter 1, 2, and 3. And as I went to the Bible college, I was like, man, what are we doing here, man? And it was trippy because it would, you know, the Bible would teach his sermons and it was radical. And I started to study other pastors' sermons and the Lord started showing me, he said, you don't need any man. And Chuck even told me, you don't even need no man, Yos. All you need is the Holy Spirit. And he's right. But listen, is what Chuck told me was this. He said, don't worry about anything. God's going to use you and he will use you listeners out there right now. And he said, listen, grow in the word. Pastor Chuck told me, he said, read 1 John, not John, 1 John chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I guarantee you'll be right back on fire. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, because it's true, Lord. 1 John is an awesome, awesome message, Lord. And it gives us the insights, Father, of your love for one another, Lord. And we want to love one another. And so we just thank you for this time, Lord. And we thank you for the listeners out there. And we ask this in your name, Jesus, to continue to bless the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, God bless you guys. Thank you for growing in his word, man. We're going to get into the Passover next time. We're going to get into the Passover, how it's celebrated, the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about that, man. And then soon Jesus is coming, man. We're going to talk about Peter's denial and how it's predicted. We're going to talk about the three prayers, man, and the betrayal and the arrest and then the crucifixion. Man, it's almost over, this chapter, this book. And we're going to move on, man. God bless you guys, man. And I mean that. And thank you for growing in his word, man. Feel free to log on to growinginhisword.com. And if the Lord puts on your heart, reach out and email. And remember, the Lord wants to know you intimately. And God wants to bless you. Don't give up. Keep serving Jesus. We're going to get through this.